Good morning. Praise God. Good to be here. Good to be have this opportunity to share the word again this morning. There's been a couple scriptures that I have noticed that over the last month and a half or so have been very prevalent on any kind of websites, social media, sermons. They seem to pop up significantly. And this week, as I was just listening to the Holy Spirit at what He wanted me to share with you all, it came down. I just started meditating on these scriptures, and I noticed a pattern here that really kind of shot me to where the Holy Spirit has us this morning. The two passages. First of all, we'll see in Psalm 91. I trust that you've been believing that one and reading that one and quoting that one over yourself, over your family, your loved ones, your church, the nation. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the other one is Isaiah 54. So if you want to look up both those spots, we're going to start there. And we're going to notice something. Hallelujah. You're going to notice something that sticks out like a healed thumb. Verse 7 of Psalm 91. Let's start there. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. So that's 11,000 people that are just like smack dab around you, the same location as you, and they're all, say all, right? They're all fallen. I'm guessing the picture here is dropping dead, but they're fallen. But notice what it says. But it shall not come nigh thee. Now again, remember context. This is for those who have made Him their hiding place, His word their hiding place, His presence their hiding place, where they run to Him, they're safe there, right? Verse 8, for only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. So it's not going to come nigh you, but you're going to look out there and see it happening to other people. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Alright. There shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague, say any. There shall not be any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But notice it, you can watch it hit everybody, all the other dwellings. Kind of reminds you a little bit of the Passover, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, I don't have any. For He, God, shall give His angels charge over you. They may not be a charge over everybody, but they're going to be charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now I'm going to stop there, but this really paints a picture. And I heard a word from the Holy Spirit. I began meditating on these scriptures, and I noticed that the Word of God says is if we make Him our habitation, if we make Him our hiding place, there could and will be a lot of things that will hit a lot of people around you. Matter of fact, 11,000 to 1 sounds like a majority. So it could hit everybody around you, but it's not going to come nigh you. There could be a plague that is causing everybody else to panic, but you don't have to panic. Why? Because it's not coming nigh you. Now the other scripture that we had was Isaiah chapter 54. And again, this is one that you know, but it's one that we've heard almost nonstop stream. If you haven't heard parts of these or these whole verses quoted daily, you're probably not connected to the right websites or social media followers or whatever, because these are major verses. Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon, say no weapon. Okay, what does that leave room for? What kind of weapon does that leave room for? Yeah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall contractually, covenantally prosper. Shall. It's impossible. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment shall thou condemn. This is the heritage. Hold on to that word because it's going to come up later in this message. Matter of fact, it's the title of the message, but we'll get to that in a moment. It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Now think about that verse. No weapon of any kind is going to prosper against you. Now, that's what weapons are made to do. Weapons are made to give whoever is the possessor of those weapons authority. The hands up. It is to cause them to prosper. Right? That's what they're created for. But it says that whoever is the possessor of those weapons that have been formed to come against you, it says shall be defeated, condemned. And that the weapons that they've aimed at you will not hit you. And it says, that's our heritage. My dad sent me a video a couple, about a month or two ago. He had seen it on Sid Roth's Supernatural. And it was the account. You can look it up on YouTube. But Terry Mize was carjacked. And the guy took him into a cornfield to kill him. And Terry Mize just kept looking at him going, "You can't touch me." Yeah, the story's funny. But basically the guy was standing about 5 feet from Terry Mize, took his gun and pop, 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 pop. Five different bullets were shot at him. And Terry Mize had just got done telling him that he couldn't kill him. And he opened his eyes, and I think that he saw shell casings and bullets all around him, but it didn't touch him. And that kind of got the guy's attention. But that's what that's the mentality, what the scripture is telling us. That there is not a weapon formed by mankind or by demonic activity that can prosper against you. I mean, you go back to Psalm 91, and it says everybody around you, I think the population of Moorhead is somewhere around 10 to 15,000 or something like that when the students aren't in school. So 11,000 people dropping around you would be the equivalent of basically the whole town falling and you standing in the middle of it going, huh? Amen? But these are what the Word of God is saying. These are the things that we are being told and that is coming up to us. And I just feel like that too many Christians, and again, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but too many Christians are spending their time during this quarantine or this house arrest or this isolation or the shutdown, whatever you want to call it. And we're complaining, we're frustrated, we have anxiety. There's Christians who are afraid of the plague. What if it comes nigh my dwelling place? If it were to hit you, it's not going to mark you. That's scripture. But it says here that we should have a different expectation. As a matter of fact, where we're going today is an area that's one of my favorite to teach on. But it became very clear that what God is talking about in these scriptures is the favor of God. Is that things will happen for you that don't happen for other people. That God will make sure that what's going on in your life is completely and totally opposite of what the world around you is facing. It's a fact. It's a word. It's a truth. The way the Holy Spirit spoke it to me the other day was this. The favor of God is not something that's just convenient, but it's something that is absolutely necessary in our everyday lives. When I go to a store, if I'm in a hurry, on my way driving into the parking lot at the busiest time of the day, I'll say, Father, I want to thank you for your favor and that I have a close parking spot so that I can get in and out as quick as I can. If I have time, I don't mind the walk. I don't mind walking from some distance. But I'll just simply say, Lord, I want to thank you for a good parking spot. And I've watched it happen time and time again. I've watched that I'm pulling up, there'll be cars in front of me, and they'll drive through. And as they drive through, and I'm just thanking the Lord for my parking spot, as they pal through, someone else is backing up. And you can almost sense, you see their brake lights hit like, I missed it. But it was opened up for me. I remember going on a trip to Myrtle Beach, and we were pulling out, turning left across traffic, and it was like the Indy 500 just started, and cars were going, and the person I was driving with looked at me and goes, "Man, you ain't never going to turn left in this situation," and I said, "Yeah, I will. Just watch." And I'm not kidding you. I mean, less than 10 seconds later, there was a gap opened up. I pulled out, and he just looked at me and went, yeah. Favor follows. It's convenient to walk in favor. But we need to understand that favor goes beyond just the convenient things. Doc Hanlon was talking. We kind of joked about it years ago. How he went, I don't know how long in his life. I mean, it seemed like it was months upon months where he didn't hit any red lights. And again, I didn't really care. I don't like red lights. But he'd go visit his daughter in Lexington, not hitting any red lights. And he'd just start laughing. He'd come to church the next morning and just start laughing and say, He said, you tell me somebody that can go through Lexington without hitting a red light. My point being is that it's convenient and it does open up things for you, some convenient things for you. But beloved, favor goes beyond that area. Favor, it opens up doors for promotion, for increase, for more than enough. Favor protects you when everybody else is falling. Favor releases things, opens the eyes of people around you to see your value. It gives opportunities to you that doesn't come to everybody else. That's what favor does. Favor protects. It increases you. We'll look at a lot of this stuff today. I think we'll be on this for 2 weeks, and that really depends on how far we get today, because if we don't get very far today, we may be on this for more than 2 weeks. But we're going to get this area of favor working in us. We're going to get our expectation for favor elevated. Because if you're not expecting it, if you're not looking for it, if you're not actively believing for it, it can be something that's available to you and you just you don't get it. You don't have it. And you can look at other people and go, why do good things always happen to you? Because there's an expectation in them for the favor of God to work in their lives. All right, let's keep moving here. Go to Psalm 30. We're going to get a little bit here into some definition for those of you that might go. But I mean, we understand favor. You know, if nobody's in our kitchen at home, or if somebody's kind of just up walking around and we're all chilling, and I'm thinking, man, I'd like a bottle of water, I might ask them to do me a favor. Do something for me that, you know, just do something for me. It's a favor. So we understand that in that terms. But notice what it says here. I just want to read this in Psalm 30, verse 5, before we move on. It says, Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endures but a moment. And again, that concept isn't that God's angry like all the time. Like, it just really means that I think it's in James, it says, be slow to anger. In other words, the point is that it's not easy to make God mad. It's not easy. You understand how long the children of Israel usurped his authority, tempted him? Numbers chapter 14 says, "You tempted me these 10 times." And there's some of them were just stupid tests, temptings, you know, where they didn't believe him. And then finally he goes, "All right, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to fry them all. I'm going to toast them all. I'm going to start over with just you and me, Moses." And Moses says, "God, stop. Listen, man, these are covenant people." And they go through all that kind of stuff. And he was, you know, he's not walking around angry. It's just a moment. And beloved, trust me, you got to do some things. You got to do some things. I think there's some people in America. They're on the threshold of doing some stuff. Okay, we'll just leave that one alone. But it says his anger's for a moment, but his favor is life. His favor is life. The Amplified Version reads it like this: "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime, or his favor is life." Do you want to live life to the fullest? Do you want to operate a lifetime based on what God has for you? Then you're going to need the favor of God. The favor of God is what we need to live life, to operate in life. If you're not operating in the favor of God, you're not truly living life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Favor is what it takes to truly live life. Now, this is not a point, but it is a point. You must understand favor. If you don't understand favor, you're not going to walk in favor. If you don't understand that favor is yours, then you're not going to walk in favor. It's just an impossibility. Both my kids have played basketball for most of their life. I don't think, you know. Ryan is as close as you can say to played it all his life, because his first word he spoke was ball, and him and his dad, as soon as he was able to, we had stuffed basketballs and soccer balls and footballs in his crib, and he's about as close as you can to having played ball all his life. But the one thing that we learned is that there's a lot of people that have the ability to play basketball. When they start out in grade school and they're in the Parks and Recreation League, there's 8 teams of 10 people his age group, maybe even, you know, more. But there's a big group of kids that his age group that are playing basketball. And then you get to sixth grade, and some of them are like, "Well, I didn't, you know, I don't need it that much. I'm maybe not." They see the writing on the wall; they're not good enough. But there's now a handful of them, maybe 20 or 25, that say, "I think I can make the middle school basketball team." And so they'll go there, and maybe that gets knocked down to about 15 or so. But then you've got all these guys, and then there's some. I mean, Ryan was one of them that stuck out. You know, he just did. But there's some that stick out. But there's others that are just this hodgepodge of kids with similar abilities. Maybe one thing that makes them a little bit better than the others, but other things. But then you find out as you keep going along, and the thing that becomes as important as talent is knowledge, is remembering plays. Even when Ryan got to college, there were guys out there who had relied in high school just on their athletic ability. And so the coach would say, "Okay, here's how we run this play." And end of season comes, and they still couldn't. And that's why they had all the ability of the world, but they had a spot on the bench warming it, because they did not have the knowledge of how something worked, or that something would work. They didn't trust that it would work. And so because they didn't have the knowledge, they didn't participate, I really, honestly, for the glory. And so we need to understand, A, that favor is something, B, how favor works, what favor is. We need to understand these things so that we can walk and live and enjoy the favor of God. So to define it, the wording that the Holy Spirit has given me is, there's a couple, but first one is unfair partiality. It's one of my clearest, because again, you're doing things for somebody, for one, and see, you still say unfair. It's usually because of a connection, a relationship, but unfair. You're doing something for some people, that one person, that you're not doing for another. It's unfair partiality. Another one is preferential treatment. I'm getting treated different or better than others. I've heard these also, to endorse or to assist someone. I think about, in the political climate we're in, and everybody is waiting for everybody else's endorsement. You might have President Trump, and we've got President Trump and Joe Biden going for the White House in November, and everybody's out there going, well, I'm going to endorse this candidate. In other words, I'm giving him my favor. Or you could almost say, he's my favorite. He's the one I'm voting for. He's the one I'm putting all my stock in. Amen. Sometimes it's just the one that's there. But people endorse, or they put their word behind someone, and that's favor. So if you think of it like this, is that when you're a child of God, God Himself is endorsing you. He's behind you. He's got His stamp of approval on you. He's saying, I vote for Him. Well, who's going to walk in divine health? I vote for Him. Who's going to walk in divine prosperity? I vote for Him. Who's going to be the head, not the tail? I vote for Him. He gets my endorsement. Who's above and not beneath? Who's walking in the blessings? Who's walking in my favor? He's got my endorsement right there. He's the one I'm behind. To assist, that's just to make things easier for you. I like that. To be provided with advantages. To show special privileges. And just as simple as I can say, is things happen for you that don't happen for everybody else. I still remember, it's one of those things that when I was in high school, there was a professor, there's a teacher, teachers in high school, professors in college. There was a teacher who liked athletes. And so he gave preference, and I was an athlete. I played football. I was an athlete. I one sport wonder, but I was an athlete. And so I was there, but again, I was kind of on the underside. So there's guys that are better athletes than me, all that kind of stuff. But he loved to, you know, he loved to talk to them, all that kind of stuff. But one day we were in a class and he had just bought a box of turtles. Not the animals, the candy. From somebody that was selling it, and he didn't want to eat it, and everybody was like, oh man, can I have one? And he goes, here's what I'll do. He said, I'm going to put all the numbers in a hat. This is how we spent our time at Pekin Community High School. I'm going to put all the numbers in a hat. I'll pull out 12 numbers. I'm going to pull out 11 numbers. Whoever's numbers I pull out that matches the grade book, you get one. I'm going to keep one for myself. And so we're like, yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's 11 chances. What's the chance I'm not going to get picked? Well, 11, because I didn't get picked. And so he's busy handing them out. He's going, okay, where's this person at? And they go, they're not here today. And everybody gets this grin on in their face that he's going to draw one more, and maybe that one more is going to be me. But instead of pulling one more out, he just turned around, looked at me, and he said, here, Thad, you get it. And I wasn't going to argue. I was not going to argue. I wanted that turtle. I wanted him. And so, see, that's favor. That's doing something. There's this big collective groan going, what? And I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel horrible about it. I ate the turtle and I enjoyed every little bit of it. But that's favor. It's choosing you above others. Doing things for you above others. And God says that we, God's favor is how we're supposed to live life. There's a quote, and I'm not sure who to attest it to, but it says, favor isn't fair, but sure is fabulous. And I agree with that. That it's unfair partiality. It may not be fair, but my goodness, is it fabulous. Bill Winston says it like this, one encounter with favor is worth a lifetime of labor. That'll preach right there. Well, I am preaching on it, so that's why it's preaching. One encounter with favor is worth a lifetime of labor. And we'll get into this next week. I know we will. But there's people in this world system who claw and cheat and swindle and work hard at trying to get to the top and trying to knock other people down. And they spend their lifetime working to get to the top. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've got the favor of God on your life, all you have to do is operate by faith. All you have to do is believe Him. All you have to do is listen to His voice. And He will open up the doors that no man can shut. He will take you places that other people just dreamed about going. Hallelujah. We need to understand favor. We need to set our minds on favor constantly every day. Yes, every day. You need to wake up with an expectation of favor. Beloved, if you don't hear, and again, Pastor's talking about favor. You're going to hear favor from me every so often. Because if you're not hearing favor, then you're not going to be expecting favor. Because can I throw this out to you? Go to Hosea chapter 4. I want to read this scripture to you, verse 6. Because I thought about this in terms of forgetting the favor of God, or forgetting His promises, or forgetting what He's done for you. You know, again, there's three levels in Hosea chapter 4 that we come across. The first one, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, let's understand this by favor, my people are destroyed because they don't understand they have the favor of God on their lives, and that things are available to them that's not available to everybody else, and things will happen to them. So do you think I just can expect things to happen, even though it's not happening for everybody else? Yes, you can. I've got stories of it. My wife has one. I'm not going to say it, but she has one that happened to her about early February. And it was just kind of like, I sat there and I started laughing. I looked at her when she told me what was going on, and I just put one word, favor of God. Things can happen for you that don't happen for everybody, but you got to. My people are destroyed because they don't know. They don't know this. Because you have rejected knowledge. Okay, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then there's those that have rejected knowledge. Or in other words, there's people that will hear this message today and go, what? Huh? You get my point, right? That don't make sense. God doesn't play favorites. He's not a respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of His children, and He's a respecter of faith. I don't know if I believe that. I think it's too pie in the sky. I think it's too good to be true. I don't know if I agree with it. But because you've rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you. And you're not going to be operate as a priest to me. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Don't shoot the messenger. But you've rejected it. You said, I don't know. So God's rejecting you. But then notice the last one. It says, seeing that you have forgotten the law of God. So in other words, what God said you could have, you used to know, you heard it before, but you've now forgotten it because thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. Now again, that picture there forgetting thy children doesn't mean he's just taking it out on your kids. But again, if you're not living it, if you're not preaching it, if you're not talking it, if it's not an object at your home, I talk to my kids all the time about favor. I talk to them all the time. They'll be in basketball and they'll say this and this and this, and I'll look at them. I'll say, "Remember, you got the favor of God." And both of them will go, "Oh yeah, I do. We do. We do." Because my children are being taught what I know and what I'm living. There's not everybody's doing that. If you've forgotten it, if you're not living it, if you're not walking in it, your children not being walking it, and they're going to continue on the curse. But now notice this. I rewrote Hosea 4 in regards to the favor of God, in regards to what we're talking about today. And he says, "My people are not enjoying favor because they have no knowledge of favor. Some have rejected favor, so I'll reject favoring them. Seeing they have forgotten about favor, then favor will miss them and their offsprings." Now, I know some people, that's not what it says. It's talking about knowledge. And it's talking about understanding what the promises of God are. So in regards to favor, that's how it's read. That if you don't know about favor, you won't live in favor. If you reject favor, God will reject favoring you. And if you've forgotten favor, you can forget about favor for you and your children. Beloved, favor is not just a convenience. It's essential for the child of God. It is essential for the child of God. I'm just, my mind just went back to 9/11 and all the stories that came out of 9/11 of partners of Kenneth and Glory Copeland and different ministries who, the one guy, hadn't missed a day of work in forever. And he was kind of feeling guilty that he hadn't been spending much time with his daughter. And so on that morning, he went over to his daughter. He went to his daughter and said, "You're going to be late for school today. I'm going to be late for work today. We're going to go out and have breakfast together." He thought he had such a good idea until while he was there, he started hearing news reports coming across on TVs and in the restaurant about what was going on where he was supposed to be and where he would have been every morning. But God gave him an idea. "Hey, go spend some time with your daughter." Why didn't God do that to everybody in that building? He probably tried. There was probably some... Don't get mad at me. There were probably some of them who he said, "Why don't you take your son to breakfast?" And they said, "I've got an important meeting." "Why don't you stop off and pick up some donuts?" "I can't. Look at the line. It's going to take too long." But those that are listening to his voice, those that are his children, those that live in his house, those that know him, he's doing favors for. He's helping. He's opening doors for. He's protecting. It is not just a convenience. It's essential. And see, here's the thing that I really want for us to grab a hold of today. And again, we'll probably end up not making it through the whole thing today. That's not a horrible thing because, again, I want us to get this in us, is that favor is one of the biggest differences between the world and the church. It just is. That God is causing success for His children. Now here's the thing, is that the church hasn't been living in it. The church has been trying to live at a disadvantage because I'm not going to kick and scream. I'm not going to cheat and swindle. But you know what? I just got to wait my turn. Instead of demanding, and I'm not demanding God, but speaking favor into existence. We've allowed ourselves to try to play in their playing field without doing what they needed to do. This year in UK basketball, one of the surprising stars for the team was Emmanuel Quickley. And he started the season, I think, expected to have a fine year. But what he ended up doing was, I think he won the SEC Player of the Year and was first team All-SEC. And I think he was on the All-American team. I believe so. And he just totally overshot what was expected of him that year. And so people started doing interviews with him. And if you've read anything, it's right there. But basically, he's a born-again Christian. And the year previously, he was trying to go on the down low. He was a Christian, but he's trying to go on the down low and not make much of a stir, not really do much with his Christianity, not do a whole lot with it. Now, this is my understanding of it. But he was trying to go into the system of college basketball where God, and he'll tell you this, had opened doors for him, and then try to go on the down low with God. Not that he was a heathen. But God had gotten him the opportunity, and then he tried to go on the down low with it. Well, last year, at the beginning of the year, over the summer, he got refreshed in his relationship with God. And he started talking about, he started being open about his Christianity. And just, I'm being very, and as he was open with it, as he was living out loud his relationship with Christ, that favor of God that had opened doors for him started working for him. And I started thinking about it. I sat Ryan down. I was talking with Ryan. I think Allison was there too. And I said, this is you guys. He said, I said, when you are dependent upon who God, your relationship with God for your success and the favor of God. And I'm not saying that Ryan or Emmanuel Quickly or Allison weren't good basketball players, because they're, again, Ryan's the best basketball player that's ever played. Allison's the best female basketball player that's ever played. But what I'm saying is that when you're on their turf, there's a whole lot of guys cutting other people, and not literally, but being mean, being ornery. And if you want to play that, God will let you play that, but that's not what got you where you're going. The favor of God did. And I would spend time, Ryan would see these struggles starting to happen in, Allison would too. And one of the first questions I'd always ask him is, how's your time with God? Are you spending time with God? And I'm telling you what, the harder their battle was, the more stuff they're going through, and when things weren't clicking, I could guarantee I knew the answer. No, I've not been doing what I need to do. And I'd look at, and again, I wasn't that I was, I mean, I felt for them. But I'd say, you clean that up, the rest of it will clean up. And time again, that's what you would see. They would start working on their spiritual lives. And God would, the favor of God just move right back in there. It's not just convenient, it's the way we live life. Here's the thing, here's the title of our message, here's what I want us to understand. This is the thing that we've got to get a hold of, is that favor is our heritage. It's who we are. It's in our bloodstream. When you're a born again child of God, when you gain that status of being a born again child, beloved, you become exempt from the things. You become free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That means exemption. You're exempt from what's going on around you. What's hurting and harassing others can't hurt and harass you. It's part of the born again lifestyle. Favor is part of the heritage of the child of God. It's what we've been born into. By the blood of Jesus, we're open to the favor of God. Again, you look at some of these children, teenagers, young adults who were born into wealth. They didn't do a thing for it. Dad did it. And then they'll go sailing around the world in their yachts and living in their mansions and have, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. Why? Because that's, you know, you go, I don't like that. But that's what they were born into. They're born into that lifestyle. Let's do it the other way. How about the Beverly Hillbillies? I know Jethro. You guys know the girl. I'll think of her soon as I don't need to think about her anymore. Ellie Mae. They were born into poverty. How hard was it for them? That was the punchline of the whole show, was how hard it was for them to get used to living in the mansion. It's because what they were born into. Beloved, I'm telling you, what we have been born into as children of God is the favor of God. Is God doing things for us that haven't been done, that are not done for everybody else? Now, we see this. This is a constant. Excuse me. This is a constant thing through Scripture. Psalm 5. Let's go here. I think we're going to set this up more than anything else today. And next week we'll really deal with the heritage and see if we can get to the last part. Again, I told you that this will at least be 2 weeks. And depending on how far we get today, it'll be three. Which is nothing new to us. Some of y'all are going, can you go four past that? I don't think we'll go four, but Psalm chapter 5 verse 11 says, let all those that trust in thee rejoice. We talked about that last week. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name, that love thy name rejoice in thee. For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous, those that are right with him, those that are in relationship with him, with favor will you encompass them about as with a shield. You will circle them about. You'll cover them from head to toe. You'll go before them. You'll be their rear guard. You'll walk beside them. You'll be over them. Favor will guard them on every side. And he's going to do it for the righteous. He will bless with favor. We get to be happy and joyous. Why? Because things happen for us that don't happen for everybody. Because the favor of God is on us. Because God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, is giving us preferential treatment. When you are born again, you are born into the heritage of God, of favor. But you got to be taught about it. If a billionaire had a child, think about it. Think about there's stories about billionaires having children that maybe grow up with their mother or grow up on in a different location, and they don't know about the wealth that is rightfully theirs. And that's where most Christians are at. You still got to be taught. You still got to be figured out. Got to know what you've been given. And we'll see that in a little bit. And again, it's not that you're working for it. We're not working for anything. Favor is something that is given to you. It's something that it's your heritage. Can't be worked for. Now again, and we're going to talk about this probably at the end of next week, if not the week after that. But there's things that you can do to make sure favor, that you activate it, that you guarantee it to work in your life. And we'll talk about that. But let's keep going. Galatians chapter 3. Because again, a lot of what we're going to be talking about next week is a lot of Old Testament saints. We're going to be talking about Noah. We're going to be talking about Abraham. We're going to talk about Joseph. We're going to talk about David. We're going to talk about a whole lot of people that this favor worked through. And that's the heritage that we're a part of. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs. He took the curse on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham, our heritage, our inheritance, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29, and if you're Christ's, if you belong to Him, if you're covered in the blood, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs. Heritage. Heritage according to the promise. It's our heritage. The favor of God. If God's done it for one, He'll do it for you. If He's done it once, He'll do it again. It's our heritage because we're in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, again, a scripture that we love around here. We usually talk about covenant when we're dealing with Ephesians 2. But let's just, verse 12 says, at that time, there was a time where you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, covenant, I don't have time to get here, but covenant is a big note that things are done for some that aren't done for everybody when you're under covenant. And he says, we were strangers from all the covenants of the old covenant. Every covenant that was given, we were strangers from. We didn't get to participate. Therefore, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off and would go, hey, what's happening to them over there? Because it's not what's happening over here. Those that were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, blood of Christ. Because of the blood, the heritage of the Bible, the heritage of the saints, the heritage of Yahweh has become our heritage. And you can't argue that it's a heritage of favor. I want you to look with something here, and we'll maybe take a look at one scripture here, but I at least want to get this in here. Go over to Matthew chapter 1, because I really want you to understand this, that this is our heritage. This is our heritage. That we have a heritage of favor. That the favor that God did for,
God don't take sides.
Yeah, He did, man. He definitely took sides in that David versus Goliath thing. He definitely took sides in that Jehoshaphat versus the other kings thing. He definitely took sides in the children of Israel versus Jericho thing. He definitely took sides in the children of Israel versus Egypt thing. He does take sides. Now here's the thing, is that because of the blood of Jesus, everybody who was on the outside now has access to be on the inside. And you know the sad thing is there's people on the inside who still aren't living and expecting the favor of God in their lives. We need to expect it. But notice here in Matthew, and now again, this is the part that most people skip through because it's the genealogy. And it talks about, you know, it starts with Abraham, then it goes to, it goes all this stuff, right? But in verse 17, it gives the rundown of it. And it says, so the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Now, if you go back there, you start counting it from Abraham, and you count through Abraham, Isaac, and you get all the way to David, it's clear, 14 generations, it's very clear. And then it says, and from David to the carrying away of Babylon is 14 generations. You go there and you start counting from David, you're going to get 14 generations of the carrying away of Babylon in this scripture. But then notice it says, and from the carrying away of Babylon to Christ are 14 generations. Now here's where it kind of goes off kilter a little bit, because you start doing the math there, and it adds 13. So it's 14. It says 14. It's 14. It says 14. It's 14. And it says it's 14. But you count it as 13. See, just another flaw in the Bible. No, it's not. Because what Jesus did was brought this generation. We are a royal generation, a holy priesthood. He's brought us into that lineage, that heritage of the blessing and the goodness of Almighty God. We are part of that heritage, the heritage of favor. Who did God call to run a blessing through? Abraham. Who never lost a battle? David. Who triumphed over death, hell, and the grave? Jesus. And we are recipients and we have that all available to us. But we've got to know it. We've got to know it. We've got to expect it. I want to just show you one thing, and this just get us going, give us a taste of where we're going next week. Because again, we're going to get into this, and again, we might finish next week, but but if you go over Genesis chapter 6, we're going to see part of our heritage, and this is really beginning. Remember, this is early, right? Genesis 6. Let's verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made it. And he said, what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stop there right now because there's more to be read, but the next verse is important. What he said after that was, he said, but I'm going to start over with one family. I'm going to start over with one man. And honestly, he picked the man. He didn't pick the family. He picked the man. The part of their heritage, his family's heritage, was they got to be with him in the boat. It's heritage. But he found one man. He said, I'm going to start over with one man. How did he pick that man? Well, we know there's other descriptions of Noah given there. Genesis 6. That he was a just man and perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. So we know that he was not that he wasn't like a bad dude, you know, that he was horrible, and you know that he and that God just was like meeny meeny miny mo go. No, there was a reason why verse 8 was said about him. But notice verse 8. Notice why God chose him. Why he was chosen among the rest. And again, I know some people go to verse 9 and go, yeah, but it was because he was just and he was perfect in all his ways and he walked with God. That's the reason. Okay, I'll give you that. But the fact that he was chosen, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the New Testament grace, the scriptures actually define it to be God's ability in us to do what we couldn't do on our own. Old Testament grace, those scriptures, means favor. Matter of fact, the New Living Translation and others that say, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Because he was just, because he was right, because he walked with the Lord, he found favor. And because he found favor while everybody else was floating, he was sailing. While everyone was going under, he was going over. Why? Because the favor of God was working in his life. Beloved, today, this morning, we're going to get into it more, but I tell you what, it is essential. It is not just, again, this is the statement that I know I received from the Lord. It is not just a matter of convenience that we have the favor of God. Well, I was really hoping for a good parking spot, and I got the favor of God, so that's my favor of God has been delivered for the day. No, beloved, his protection, the promises, the blessings, the increase. Think about Deuteronomy 28 with the blessings of God. Here's what comes to you if you're hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And over in chapter 15, chapter 28, verse 15, it says, if you're not, you're going to wish you had. It's part of our heritage. It's who we are. It's necessary for us to walk in the favor of God. I believe Pastor Lisa said that the Holy Spirit told her early in the year this was going to be a year of God's favor. And somebody would go, well, it sure hadn't been very much favoring so far. I know this much, that everybody in our body of believers is still has a job and or is getting paid and not by government. And I'm not like, I'm just simply saying it sounds like favor to me. And I'm telling you what, the next 4 months of this year is going to be a party for the kingdom of God. It's going to be different. Beloved, don't reject it. Don't forget it. Don't miss it. God's given us the favor of God, His favor, so that we can truly live the way He wants us to live. Beloved, this week, wake up every morning expecting the favor to work for you. Expect things to happen for you that don't happen for others. Oh, God, that's so much. God told Moses the burning bush that things are going to turn because of my favor. And there's still a process of time. But every time Moses went to Pharaoh, there was an expectation. God's getting ready to do us a favor. He's working on our behalf. And one time, the door was open and they moved over. Moved out because of the favor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, for my beloved. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, that the favor of God is our heritage. Again, not just a matter of convenience, but a matter of necessity. To live life, to operate in this life, we need the favor of God. We need to walk in it, live in it, and expect it. And so, Father, I pray for my beloved. I pray, Lord, that this week, that day in and day out, you will increase their expectation for the favor of God to work at their jobs and their families, to work in their neighborhoods, to work in their bank accounts, to work all over them, that the favor of God will increase and will go higher and higher and higher in their lives. We love you so much. We're so grateful, Father, that you've chosen us. Yeah, you chose us because we're your children. And you're letting us go over when everybody else is going under because of the favor. While everybody's floating, you're causing us to sail because of the favor. Increase our expectation. And we thank you, Father, for manifestation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Praise God. I want to see your faces. But until then, I love you. God bless you. Go with God. Walk in His blessings. Prosper. Be in health, even as your soul prospers. I love you guys. God bless. Go with God. Amen.